I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, make no mistake. Coaches love unintentional collisions in mini camps. They love it, whether they admit it or not. That's Matt Nagy. Get used to that voice. Right now, it's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on The Score. This hour's keyword is walk. Text walk to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is walk to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Rich Campbell's on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell, covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. And there are new Bears to be covered. And that's what he's doing at Bears rookie minicamp. Rich, how are you?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. Yeah, the three-day rookie camp wrapped up Sunday, and we all wish there was a little bit more to it than there actually is. I mean, these guys are just in helmets and jerseys and shorts, and there's no hitting, so you don't get to see Roquan Smith at his best. And it's really an orientation process so that when the OTAs begin tomorrow, that these guys can at least know where they're supposed to line up and practice functionally. And we'll get to be out there Wednesday to see a little bit more of that with the full team, and that should be good.
Yeah. So, Rich, what do coaches want most out of these rookie camps, these little practices? I mean, is it really just finding out where they go inside the building and making sure that nobody gets lost on the first day? I mean, it seems like that's as important as anything else.
It really is. And I was saying this all weekend, that there are events on an NFL team's calendar that function for the team. They're an important part of the process for the team, but they really don't fit the 24/7, 365 media coverage of the team. And rookie camp is one of those events, because you're just trying to get these rookies in, show them where to go, give them the playbook. Actually, they had the playbook from the draft, but so you get on the field and they can walk through a bunch of things, and they just get their legs going again after a layoff from their pre-draft training. And so again, yeah, when they report with the entire team, all 90 players will be there tomorrow. They'll be able to work in, and they've already got a relationship with the coaches, and they can just be part of the process at that point. 43 tryout players were in for the practices. So that gives you an idea too of the level of action, if you want to call it that. If the practice is over the weekend, you know, most of those guys won't be retained. Bears just take a look at them. They turn over about 5 roster spots, and you know, these guys all go to camp just sort of hoping to get a foothold.
That's the part of it I find most interesting, actually, and I would love
really?
To see...
I find that the least interesting.
Oh, I love the idea of guys... Look, we know who their draft picks are. We know who's likely to make the roster. We know who some of the fringe possibilities are, but you're talking about some off-the-street guys. You're talking about guys who this
yeah,
might be.
Yeah, but they don't do anything.
It could be. That's why I was.
Tanner Gentry was the guy last year. He caught 2 passes.
Well, that's why I was going to ask, what is the greatest success story of an off the street tryout level guy who just like, well, wait a second, who's this guy? And then he makes it to actual camp, and then he makes a practice squad, or then is promoted to the team later in the year. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody who just was completely undiscovered, not even like a priority undrafted free agent, just a guy they wanted to see with a helmet on?
Yeah, I don't have that list, and I think it would be really interesting to see it, so we would get a perspective on how long the odds are. I mean, I think if you're a tryout player, which means, you know, you were passed on in college free agency, you're hoping for an invite to camp, and then maybe you're hoping for a practice squad spot, right? And so then you're just getting around the coaches, and you have a chance to make a good impression that way. You know, one of the players that Nagy singled out yesterday, and this is the thing, every year, because you're just dying for something from a reporter standpoint, you know, the coach is asked, anybody standing out to you? Anybody standing out to you? Well, he doesn't even know these guys' names. You know, these guys were all brought in by the personnel department, and they're just trying to get through practice. And it also doesn't serve him to single guys out, because it's discouraging to other players, and et cetera. But yesterday he did single out a receiver named Matt Fleming, who went to Simeon High School, and played at Benedictine in Lisle, Division III. And Fleming tweeted last night indicating that the Bears signed him. He's a track national champion, a 4x100 relay.
Well, that doesn't hurt.
Level.
Yeah, being an elite sprinter doesn't hurt the old NFL candidacy.
The guy that you would get in, right? Just a traits guy that maybe you could bring him to camp or work him out for these OTAs and see if he continues to ascend. And understanding that, look, if we're talking about contributors, those guys are well established and already in the mix.
Maybe he's the next Wayne Chrebet. Who knows, right? I mean, that's the story that I go back to, right?
Chrebet was drafted, no? Or was he undrafted?
No, he was undrafted.
A lot of people say Vince Papale. That was the guy that
wasn't
Mark
that a
Wahlberg
lockout played? Thing though, or wasn't? No, that wasn't a lockout deal. That wasn't a scrub type thing.
The scab guy?
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No,
I
he
don't
wasn't.
Think
okay.
So no, but this just
Chrebet is the guy that I knew of. So Rich with Anthony Miller, the wide receiver taken in the third round there too. He's got a foot thing coming up, or what's his prospects for the upcoming camps and upcoming days and getting him into work?
Yeah, Anthony Miller had a Lisfranc fracture in his right foot during the off season, and he was cleared medically for the combine, but he had only been cleared for 2 weeks, so he opted to wait until his pro day to do all of his workouts, and he insisted that he's completely clear now, and in fact, he did go through individual drills at the rookie camp over the weekend, so you saw him running routes against air with the offense as they were just running plays and trying to get used to the routes they were running and some of the adjustments within those routes. The Bears held him out of the offense versus defense work, and that type of work, those team drills, those can begin for the full team starting tomorrow. So I would expect him to be held out of those, and then they'll probably just let him go full at training camp. But Nagy said no rush with him, but he is cleared, and we'll keep an eye on it through, you know, the mid-June mandatory mini camp, because hey, if he's ready or they see enough that they like, or he, you know, badgers them enough and wants to get in, or they want to take a look at him, then maybe he does get into a team drill by the end of it.
What we always see the ball drills, you know, the 7-on-7s and the stuff, like you say, routes against air. What are the fat guys doing that's meaningful? And I know that the offensive linemen are probably swamped with trying to learn things, but is there anything that they can see that they can find out with some of the guys who are going to be having the necessary collisions later on?
Yeah, this is really difficult because the league prohibits full contact and they don't wear pads. And this is part of the offseason and has been since 2011, since that new collective bargaining agreement was instituted that summer, is that there's really, quote unquote, no contact. Now, you go to these practices at any team and there is some contact. I mean, guys are putting their hands on each other, but it's just at a reduced pace a little bit and certainly not as physical. So we were asking James Daniels, the second round interior lineman, about what he can accomplish. He feels like he can accomplish at these practices. And he talked a lot about leverage. So just understanding against a certain defensive look, whether he needs to be on the inside of a guy or how he needs to pass him off, just more positioning than the physical part of it. But that's what makes these really frustrating to watch. So you really have to get to training camp when shoulder pads come on. And even then there's no live tackling. So a player like Roquan Smith, you're not going to be able to really sense how he can get a guy on the ground, and he just sort of runs up and slaps a guy on the butt, and maybe we'll get a look at his range. But as Nagy said yesterday as we were leaving, you know, he just can't wait to get to training camp because that's when you finally see really what you have now, especially since the staff on offense is in its first year and the offense is new for everyone. A lot of this is just teaching and reinforcement, install, sort of the necessary steps to become a functional team, but not necessarily compelling from a coverage standpoint.
And it's optimism. It's another reason to say, hey, this guy looks pretty good. Hey, they look pretty good. This football's fun again. And
you see this with receivers every year. There's always a receiver who flashes because that's the position that does something. They can get open. They can catch the ball down the field. You know, pick your guy. It's been Daniel Braverman in the past, Tanner Gentry last year. If it's not Javon Wims, the seventh-round receiver out of Georgia this year, then something's wrong, right?
That's good old number 83 to you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And he was in the media room yesterday, a big guy. I mean, his size, sort of that physical presence really stands out. A lot of times, seventh-round guys, more of a, you know, smaller, maybe shiftier slot-type player with special teams ability. Wims hasn't played special teams. He said that'll be a learning process for him, but he insisted that he's more than just a jump ball receiver, which is really what he's known for at Georgia. There's probably something to be said for a guy who led his team in receiving as the national runner-up, and we'll see if the Bears can get anything out of him.
Rich, thanks as always. Love talking Bears with you.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week.
That's Rich Campbell.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.